We're about to hear a story that comes from early in the Gospel of John, early in Jesus' earthly ministry. And it was a year that Jesus began his walking, talking, teaching, healing, inviting, relational ministry on this earth of ours. One night, a man named Nicodemus visited him. Now, Nicodemus was a religious leader who was respected and righteous. He came with an urgent question and left with perhaps even more questions. You will notice a rather intense exchange transpired, and I'm not sure you would exactly call it a conversation. So let's see what you think as I read from John chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above, for the wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent into the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be attuned to you, O God, rock, cornerstone, and temple. Amen. So this happened in a three-generation family where the grandfather, son, and four-year-old grandson were all named John. One day the phone rings, and this is before cell phones were invented. "Hello," said one of the women in the household. "May I speak to John, please?" "Which John would you like to speak to? John the Father, John the Son, or John the Holy Terror?" Well, I guess they had a certain kind of Trinity going on within their household. Truth is, preaching on the Trinity produces a kind of holy terror for most preachers, myself included. We'd much rather preach on a great story like Moses encountering the burning bush in the wilderness, or on one of Jesus' marvelous parables like the Good Samaritan. And I'm guessing that when you saw it said Trinity Sunday, you thought either, "Oh, what's that again?" or, "Oh, not that again." For today is a unique holy day in our Christian tradition. All of our other Christian holy days and seasons are set aside to remember, ponder, and celebrate the life and events of Christ. Like Advent, Christmas Eve, the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan, or Lent, the events of Holy Week, Easter, Ascension, and Pentecost. We just celebrated Pentecost last Sunday. Seems like a long time ago, doesn't it? But anyway, wearing red, holding pinwheels, remembering the mysterious wind and fire and the Holy Spirit birthing the Christian church. But today, we get to ponder and celebrate a doctrine. Now, isn't that exciting? You may be saying, give me angels or give me the benediction, please. Or, why didn't I go to the Brewers game today? Their bats were really hot yesterday. Wasn't it like 16-7 or something? Anyway, it is Memorial Day weekend, the unofficial beginning of summer, and obviously I wrote this sermon title, Keep the Window Open, before the mosquitoes and the heat came in full force. Nevertheless, school is almost over, and now we're supposed to get excited about a doctrine. Why now? Why have we been observing the first Sunday after Pentecost as Trinity Sunday since 1000 CE? And more to the point, what is there to remember and ponder and celebrate about the Trinity for us today? Today is the day to remember, ponder, and celebrate the composite of all these stories that add up to and beyond the truth that our God, our awesome God, is a relational God. Like any human relationship, God cannot be contained or controlled or fully known or explained. Praise be to God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, above, beside, and within us all. Do you long to experience a healthy, life-giving, sustaining relationship, a relationship that calls us to be more than and better than we could be on our own? God gave us Jesus to show us how, as individuals and as a church. But how often and for how long do we, like Nicodemus, walk away, kind of fade away into the dark, blown away by exactly what Jesus is trying to teach us? I think we have a relational crisis brewing right now as a culture. If you think about it, whether it's the weekly revelations the Me Too movement continues to expose about toxic behavior of yet another celebrity, or if it's the almost where now punch in our guts as the epidemic of school shootings continues, or if it's the gamesmanship of international diplomacy with the Korean Peninsula or the Middle East, the hurt, the heartache, the potential threats to the core of our society and even global security all stem from relationships gone bad. Or relationships that were never good or real relationships to begin with. Or relationships that have been abused, neglected, or disregarded. As we are called to think about our nation on Memorial Day weekend and remember with gratitude the sacrifices of our men and women who have given their lives to protect the freedom and restore peace to our nation and world, I hear God's call to preach and practice Trinity with all our might and muster. What do I mean? As Dr. Caroline Lewis, a preaching professor at Luther College, puts it, Trinity insists that relationship is what truly matters. I'll say that again. Trinity insists that relationship is what truly matters. And then that becomes the litmus test for what faith looks like in the world. So here's the thing. Let's be honest. We like to think we are self-sufficient and in control, autonomous. Circle the wagons, close the windows. We know what we know. Just go with that and with the people who see things the way we see them. Kind of like Nicodemus did when he went to visit Jesus that night. My friends, this is anti-Trinitarian thinking. This is binary thinking, and it contradicts our triune God. In this year of 2018, perhaps we, like Nicodemus, are asking Jesus, what do you mean by this? How can these things be? As we look around our nation and earth and ask. And like Nicodemus, we may not really be hearing what Jesus is saying. We may walk away too soon. Like Nicodemus, we may wait too long to act on what we come to realize to be true. Too afraid to open the window on a new way of living and being. The Gospel of John tells us that Nicodemus waited too long. In chapter 19, verse 39, we are told that after Jesus was crucified, Nicodemus helped Joseph of Arimathea prepare Jesus' dead body to be buried with 100 pounds of myrrh and aloe. Yes, he got it, but he got it too late. He came to see the light of what Jesus was trying to tell him way back in the story we heard today. That night, long time ago, in Nicodemus's heart. But what about us? Are we game? When we come together to worship this holy, holy, holy God, we are saying, we are singing, yes, we are. This God who comes to us, for us, as one of us wanting to work through us. This Lord whose robe had a hem that filled the temple in Isaiah's prophetic vision, and this same Lord whose rough weave, dusty hem, was enough to heal the woman with the flow of blood, who reached out in the crowd, believing if she could just touch the hem of his robe without him even knowing it, she could be healed, and indeed she was. But he did know it. Same hem, same God. What could she see as she pushed her way through the people, desperately hoping for something she had not seen yet in all her life? She let the Holy Spirit push her through the crowd. She let the sustainer open for her the window of possibility when all hope, all rational hope, seemed completely lost. So what can we see in the crowd of our concerns, yearnings, fears right now? What do we want to see? Our message today for Trinity Sunday here in 2018 is simply this: leave the window open. God has more for us to see, more for us to believe, more life-giving work for all of us to do. Yes, more relational work for us to do. Like Jesus said to Nicodemus in so many words, you're not really listening. Let me say it again. Leave the window open, the window of your heart, the window of our collective FPC heart, to let God's Spirit lead us into the light of God's healing love and desire, God's desire to save the world and not leave it condemned. I hear that as a call to step out of the binary world and into the triune realm of our God's redeeming, overflowing love. So yes, here's the good news. God wants us to be about something greater than ourselves. God wants us to grow beyond our narrow expectations. God is calling us to develop, to practice relationships that are more than transactional. Sure, it may be a rummage sale customer in our fellowship hall next week, a client at Super Socks, a political campaign we are working on, or someone we run into the grocery store. But leave the window open for the Spirit to blow where it will, where she will, to breathe love and life where there is hurt and death. For God, through Christ, is calling us to move from our brokenness toward wholeness in how we relate to one another as a nation, as a world. God is calling us to let God's Spirit in deeper than we have before. God is calling us to embody the love of Christ in ways that are somehow more visible than before. So how open is your window right now? Maybe your window is shut like Nicodemus was that night. Here's a question to help you assess how open your window is. Think for a moment. What are you planning to do that you cannot possibly achieve without help from beyond yourself? What do you think maybe God is calling you to do and be right now that is impossible without the lift in life of flame and spirit of the Holy Spirit driving you into that unknown, seemingly undoable challenge? I'm being honest here. Opening that window is scary. Opening it even further is really scary. If I succeed in scaring you, I'm probably doing my job. As the wisdom in Proverbs 1 reads, the fear of the Lord is the beginning, that's not of glory, of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the God we worship is the one who is all about leading us beyond the familiar and comfortable and manageable into a new way of being, new ways of being church, beyond what we can see at the moment. The Bible tells us, our triune God teaches us, if we know exactly what we will do next, if we can predict and control exactly what our church will do next, we are not letting the Spirit of God lead us. Our triune God is something like a concrete truck. You know the way it has to keep turning, or else what happens? It gets stuck and never moves again. I remember well mixing concrete by hand the summer I spent in Liberia in the village of Fanja. We were doing it in wheelbarrows, and we had to keep moving and running and putting it in this little thing we were building, or else we'd have to start over again. So a final thought, a final image is just to keep mixing it up with God. Keep mixing it up with speaker, word, and breath, with sun, ray, and warmth every day. And if you feel a little holy terror, you are probably on the right track. So let's leave the window open and see what God can do.